Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business. Legal. Politics. Health. Lifestyle. And entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the Greater Houston community, from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The information provided in this episode is for general informational purposes only and may not reflect the current law in your state or country. By watching and listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as legal advice and no attorney-client relationship between you, the host, or guest. You are advised to seek legal counsel concerning your legal question or concern from a lawyer licensed in your state, country, or appropriate licensing jurisdiction.
Especially if you have a plan, you're a lawyer in the Philippines, or you're planning to become a lawyer, they said that don't move out of the country because there's no career for you there. Because, you know, if I'm a lawyer in the Philippines, I can't bring that to the U.S. because it's the being a lawyer in the Philippines is, you know, you're supposed to be a Filipino citizen and you're supposed to be practicing the Philippine law. So if you go to the U.S., it's a different law. So you have to start all over again. So that's actually what I did. Well, not really starting all over again. I just went back to school. Course to learn the laws here in the United States and in Texas, because there's a federal law and state law, so I have to learn both. So that's why, even if you're licensed here in Texas, that doesn't mean you can practice in California unless mm-hmm. you also pass the bar in California.
I used to hear a lot that, like, you know, since like colonization and everything, that the Philippine law is like very similar or patterned to American law. Is that like how much of the percentage is like very close to like the law here and the law in the Philippines?
Well, I really can't tell that because some point there are similarities, but definitely some of the laws or the situation or circumstances are not the same. So, you know, it's tweak and There are some similarities, I can say, but that's why it's easier to understand or learn the laws here, because, you know, I can already like relate, but there's a lot of differences as well. So just like in the Last Will and Testament, you know, like our topic for tonight, which is the Last Will and Testament, there I get a lot of questions about, you know, drafting a will in the Philippines and or drafting a will in the U.S. So like questions, can I draft my will here in the U.S. even if my property is in the Philippines? So questions like that. So there's like a crossover, and so it's important to know both, right? So, and actually that's our topic for tonight, which is a segment of our estate planning sessions, because there's a lot of sessions. We're trying to do it once a month. Hopefully next year we can increase the sessions, the episodes, not just once a month. It depends on the schedules, but we'll see what's going to happen, because I'm getting a lot of questions about estate planning, specifically Last Will and Testament, because there's also a lot of misunderstanding and belief like, estate planning is just Last Will and Testament, which actually Christian.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, I usually just watch movies and just learn everything in law, like I'm in movies and series. So like I don't know what to do. So I guess like let's start with like with the basic questions. Like let's start with like what is the Last Will and Testament?
A guide.
Yeah.
Well, yes, direct to the point. I like that. What is a last will and testament? Well, sometimes you just call it will. What is a will? Why is it, how is it different from last will and testament, right? So a will and last will testament are just basically the same. It's just that the use of language, there's a lot of specificity in terms of language in law, right? So will is a legal document. When you say legal document, that means it's a document that can be enforced under the law. You know, there's a document that you created, but there's it doesn't have any legal.
You can't use it.
You cannot use it. You can't use it for any legal purposes. But a will, yes, it is a legal document. That means you can go to court and, you know, show to the judge that this is my last will and testament. Can you enforce it? Yeah. So, and that is the process of probate. You know, because I get that questions also. What is probate? Probate, last will, they think they're just the same, or maybe.
I never hear probate before we started this. I didn't know about probate.
No knowledge, right? Because it's not really a thing that everybody's talking about it. Because probate has something to do with death. And, you know, Filipinos, we don't usually like
don't
talk
die.
About death. Like as if we're not going to die, right? But we all are. So it's something that you should think about. As a matter of fact, just this week, I had a consultation of a person that I know. And I prepared her will, and she's trying to change something in the will. So we're probably going to revoke the will and then create a new one. Or we're just going to create a codicil, which is a supplementary will, like a supplemented. Because of some changes in the circumstances, because now she's very sick. And some, you know, I feel sad about that, knowing that, okay, this person, I'm talking to her now, and we're preparing her last wishes. She's trying to make it work, make it happen before it's too late. So I'm okay with that. We're talking about it. But at the back of my mind, like, well, what's going to happen 2 weeks from now? Am I still going to be able to see her? We're still going to be talking about this, you know? So it's a weird feeling, but we need to be aware of it. Since it's my job, you know, I am aware of the fact that I see them and now I see them and then I don't. And then I have to deal with their family members once they pass away. So that's the sad part of that.
Do like family members, like, you know, in the teleseries, do they blame you if they're not on the will or anything like
that? Oh, yes, as if it's my fault, right? But it's not, you know, when we draft the will, like, for example, me. So if whenever I meet with a client and we're going to draft the will, we talk about you know, all the things that the surrounding circumstances, the what are the possibilities, what are the what ifs, you know. So we talk about that. So first thing we do is when we create a will, mm-hmm. what do you have right now? What are your assets? Mm-hmm. What are your properties? Where are they located? Do you have real property? Because it's different, you know, real property and personal property.
I have imaginary property.
That doesn't count. So you think about all this, because when you draft a will, like, for example, you're not going to be drafting it. Maybe your attorney will draft it for you, but you will review it with your attorney to make sure that what's in that will is actually your true wishes. You really wanted that to happen. You really want your real property to go to your husband, your money in the bank to go to your son. So you but that's why you need to know your assets, your where are they located. That's because when we draft the will, we make sure that when you're doing it, you have the mental capacity to do it.
Of sound mind and body.
Sound mind and body. You know, like, you know what's going on. You know that you are making a will. You know the extent of your wealth, you know, and you know where your properties are, where they're located, and that right at that very moment, you are making your last wishes.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the mental capacity, because if you don't have that mental capacity, then whatever it is that you will draft during that time, even if it's prepared by your attorney and you sign it and they can prove that you're not of sound mind, you didn't know what was happening during the time, they can revoke the will. Yeah.
That's very, it's very hard to prove for me if I'm in sound mind.
So that's why I ask questions to determine if my client is actually
what year is it? Who's the president?
I know, right? Where are you located right now? And then, of course, when we execute the will, we are required to have witnesses. That is a Texas law. The number of witnesses in different states may vary. In one state, they may only require one witness. But here in Texas, we need at least two witnesses. Who will testify, who will sign the will, that they saw you sign it, that you know what you're doing, so they can testify that you are of sound mind, that you are mentally capacitated. This is very important, especially if you are executing a will when you are already in the hospital or you're on a deathbed. Because sometimes some relatives, they're like, oh, he doesn't have a will yet, so let's go ahead and, you know, they'll rush it,
mm-hmm.
so that you will have a will. But then at the time, you are not of sound mind.
Yeah, you're thinking about the next life.
That could be contested. And once it's contested, it's going to be a little messy. And your will might be revoked if they can prove that you did not have the mental capacity to execute your will at the time.
Mm.
So that's why witnesses are very important during that time, because the witnesses, if we need to bring them to the court to testify to the court, to your, you know, mental capacity at the time, they'll have to be there.
I have a lot of questions about these witnesses, but I think it might be time to go on break. So
already?
Yeah, it's
okay.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
All right, stick around. Stick around.
Everywhere you go, Christmas has its own local touch, making it a holiday that is celebrated around the world in unique ways.
Come along as we unravel the diverse tapestry of Christmas celebrations across the globe through MJ and Atala's stories.
Join us in exploring the rich cultural mosaic that makes this season truly magical. Uncover the unique and heartwarming ways communities embrace the spirit of Christmas worldwide.
Tune in live Monday, December 4th, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yes, we're back. And thank you for staying with us. By the way, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to post it there in the comment box. And Christian and I will try to read them over during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to my best address the questions. Okay?
Yeah, we are live on Facebook or YouTube, but you already know that if you're watching this. But if you miss this show live, we're on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, anywhere you get your podcast. We're there. So, like, yeah, you can also contact us through our social media, Lawin Media Network. And if you have questions for the next episode, we can do it over there. And yeah.
And by the way, this is produced by Lawin Media Network in collaboration with the Philippine American Chamber of Commerce, Greater Houston Region, PACC, Texas. Yes.
A lot.
Okay, so Christian, we're still talking about last will and testament. Did you know that there are two types of will in Texas? And even in the Philippines, there are two types of will.
Will Smith and Arnett. I don't know. What are the two kinds of will?
Okay, so we have the formal will, and we also have the holographic will. Now, the formal will, I think that's the most common one. You know, when you go to the attorney and then they prepare the will, it's type written, you know. Mm-hmm. That's an example of a formal will. But the holographic will is one that is written entirely by the person. The person who is drafting his or her will is called testator. So the testator made the will entirely in his handwriting. Like handwriting. So you can't mix a typewritten word or typewritten words and handwritten words. You cannot mix that.
You can't make corrections like you just made a mistake.
That's why when you already drafted your will, you already executed it, and it's already a live document, legal document, and then you change your mind, and I've seen this. And then you had disagreement with your brother or sister, and you want to disinherit him or her, and then you just cross out the name. That's not going to work. What the judge will say, will see it as if there's no cross out there. It's like it's the same thing. So even if you cross it out, and even if you you even added some notes, I don't want him to get anything from my estate. Even if you wrote that one, that doesn't have any effect because you cannot amend or change your will that way. Okay, so that's a holographic will. Now, what are the requirements? So, you know, I mean, like, maybe you just want to handwrite your will.
Can I just walk in your office and I need a will? And
well, for holographic will, handwritten will, this is very common. And I've seen this a lot. That's why it's common, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen this a lot with couples who are traveling a lot. So when they travel, they don't have a will. They don't have a formal will. So they sometimes just write a letter or a note. Mm-hmm. If ever something happened to us in the cruise or whatever, right? Or the airplane crash and we died, we want our house, because husband and wife, right, to go to our daughter, and our car to go to our son. So handwriting, they sign it. Will that be a holographic will? Could that be a holographic will?
No.
Yes. As long as it's handwritten and and signed. But that's a very big contest. I'm seeing a big contest about that. Most of the time, holographic will are being contested. Mm-hmm. Because the way it was written, it could be subject to a lot of interpretation. And the use of the words like "we," you can't do that because you can't have a will, two of you there, disposing it. Like in one case, the wife put "we," but it's just hers because you know
you can't speak for another person.
It has to be personalized. So it was handwritten. It's okay. It's a holographic will, and it passed. The judge said this is a valid will, but the distribution, that was just crazy because I remember that's a blended family, and so the way the language was used, I mean, it resulted to different interpretation, and so the children of the one who passed away who wrote that one didn't get much. Because of the way it was written.
It's the opposite of what they wanted to happen.
Exactly. So because it is a holographic will, it is a will, but it's heavily contested, and it could result to, you know, a different, it could give a different result than what you really wanted to happen. So that's why it's always best to let the experts or the people who are actually doing, providing that kind of service, the attorney, estate planning attorney, to draft the will for you, because the language, the words that are that are used there are very important. It may change the, a use of a word could change the entire thing.
If it's like that, where like a couple are traveling and they want to leave something to their like offsprings, can they do it like online or something like that if they're not able to like go to a lawyer real quick?
Well, remember there are two types of will. Mm-hmm. The formal will, which is prepared by an attorney, mm-hmm. and witnessed and notarized, right? As opposed to holographic will, which is supposed to be handwriting. So if you're going to go online and you're going to fill in the blanks and then download that, mm-hmm. You'll, you know, remember that it's a state law. It's a state law. So it's state specific. So if you downloaded a form that is not, that doesn't comply with the requirements of Texas law or your state law, then that may be invalidated. So in Texas, definitely, if it is a formal will, it has to be typewritten, right? Mm-hmm. There are two witnesses, credible witnesses, disinterested witnesses, and the age here in Texas, 14 years old and above can be, you know, a witness.
What do you usually get for witnesses? Just like a man on the street?
No.
Well, jury duty?
It would be best if you're waiting somebody who's not a relative, mm-hmm. who's not a who definitely someone who's not going to inherit anything or receive anything from the will. His name or her name is not there in the will other than being witnesses, you know, because the witnesses should be disinterested, like they're not getting anything. So usually my clients, they bring their witnesses, like their friends, you know, because you can't just, hey, can you be witness here, you know?
No, it's not like a job where I could just, hey, I'll be your witness, pay me $50.
Because you're not supposed to receive anything monetary or financial as a witness. You can't. So that's why during the probate, we asked that. Did you receive any monetary or benefits for being a witness or something like that? So no. Anyway, so that's, we're talking about the two types of will, right? The formal will have to be typewritten entirely. It has to be witnessed by at least two disinterested witnesses, signed by the testator, the one who's drafting the will. I mean, the one who's writing his or her own will, and then the witnesses must sign. And here in Texas, we are allowed to do self-proof will. Mm-hmm. So that means we include an affidavit it's actually self-proving affidavit in lieu of bringing the witnesses to the court to testify what they saw. So it's like they're doing it already ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So that will save time. Because when we go to court and probate the will, I don't have to bring the witnesses there. Unless it's contested, then I might need more witnesses. You know, it depends on the issue. Now, that is for formal will. Holographic will, same thing. You still probate it. But like I said, usually it's contested because of the language that's used. What is the simplest will that can be done? I give every... my name is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
Of sound mind and body. That's what I remember.
This is my last will and testament. And I'm giving everything that I have at the time of death to my wife. That's it. Simple. That. Everything goes to the wife. Now, that's like, okay, I can do that. Right?
Turns out they have two wives.
I know, right? I can do that. And then the wife was not named there. Oh. So then later on... let's say, for example, before the person passed away, they got divorced, mm-hmm. you know, they, and then remarried, didn't change the last will, you know, that could have some, you know, effect in terms of distributing the assets according to the will. So that's why you really need to consult with an estate planning attorney to talk about all this, the possibilities.
Or fix your relationships.
And then, of course, you have to make sure that your will is updated. Because I had a client very similar to that. So a first marriage, right? So he drafted his will, gave half and half, equal share to the wife and the child. Mm-hmm. Okay, then they got divorced, and then he remarried. we are supposed to revoke the old will, the will, mm-hmm. and create a new one to give whatever he has right now to the new wife. Mm-hmm. 3 days before the appointment, he didn't wake up. He passed away. And that's created a totally different story.
Wow.
So as much as I'd like to help the surviving spouse, the wife, you know, we have to follow what the law says. In Texas, there's no pretermitted wife. Pretermitted wife is the wife who became a wife after the will has already been drafted. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
So the pretermitted wife is not going to get anything from that will. So what happened there is that, of course, after the divorce, the original wife, the first wife, is no longer eligible to receive from that will because mm-hmm. of the divorce. That's an effect of the divorce. You automatically disinherit revoke whatever is given to the wife. So what's left is the daughter,
uh-huh.
right? The child, one child. So she gets everything.
Wow. Okay. And someone wins.
Yeah. So that's why, think about it. Don't think that it's not urgent, because you'll never know. Life is uncertain. The only thing certain is death. You just don't know when it's going to happen. So you have to be prepared. So that's the last will and testament. We say it's last will because it's supposed to be the last will, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever.
Is there a beginning will? I don't know, like a mid will?
Well, the thing is, we look at the latest. Mm-hmm. The latest usually revokes the oldest.
It becomes the last one.
Yeah, it becomes the last
one. Only when you die.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you already drafted the last will and testament, and then you change your mind. Let's say, for example, in my will, I put you as my executor, and then I change my mind because then I'm no longer trusting you after so many fights, right? I don't want you to be my executor anymore, so I want to change the name of my executor. So I go to my attorney. Can you please amend my last will and testament and take out Christian's name as an executor and put in a different name instead? So can I do that? Yes. Without revoking the entire will, we just need to create a supplemental will.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes we call it codicil here in Texas, and we just include it, attach it to that will that you already have created. However, in creating the supplementary will or codicil, it's like you're creating an independent will, because that could be an independent will in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it has to comply with the requirements of the Texas law, that it has to be typewritten, it has to be signed by the testator, and it has to be signed by at least two witnesses. You know, it's like
We have a question from Rusty Lopez.
Yes, hello Rusty.
Can you mention celebrities who died without a will and the repercussions of dying with a will?
Celebrity.
But you know what? We can go think about this and go on break for a bit, and we'll answer your question.
All right, stick around. And we're back.
Yeah. So the question was,
right?
Question was, are there celebrities who died without a will, and did they have like repercussions? What effect did it have?
Well, definitely, if you pass away without a will, there's definitely, you know,
because like if you're like an artist, like some of your work like even now, even if like they're alive, like for example, like Taylor Swift, like for it turns out like she didn't own like her first album, right? So yeah. I guess like there's a lot of legalities about it.
Definitely, and it is governed by the state law. So whatever the state says, then that's what's gonna happen if they didn't have a will. So for example, very famous one is The Prince. Ano yung kanta niya?
Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, The Prince ba yun?
Yeah, I think so.
Yung We Will.
And then, Queen niya.
Ah, Queen
niya.
Okay, anyway. Ano ba yan? Yeah, royalty yan eh. Kasi anyway. So, that's right. Ah, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Queen din yun.
Queen din yun. Ano ba yun? So anyway, The Prince, he passed away without a will. So yes, his asset has been, you know, it's been heavily contested. Even last year, 2 years ago, recently, see Aretha Franklin, wala din. So Bob Marley, wala din. So, and you know, hindi natin alam yung mga famous artists natin ngayon, baka wala din silang will.
If you're watching this, Taylor Swift, call
us. If you not have a will yet, right, you gotta have to have a will. So, that's Rusty Lopez's question. Yeah. So, it's very interesting because their assets are so huge. And yet they never thought of, you know, selling their estate before they pass away. I guess it's because they're too busy.
Or like it's like their manager should have like brought it up sometime, right?
Or like I said, they might be very busy and they didn't have time, or they keep on, you know, postponing it. Like, oh, I'll just do it next week or next month. Just like what others are doing. I'm probably not going to die yet, so I'm just going to do it next month or next year maybe. Or when I turn 30, 40, 50.
And then they ride the plane and it's over.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So it could happen to anyone. And then another question is, well, they have big assets. What about me? I don't have a lot of money, right? Do I need to have something in place? Well, when we say will, it covers whatever you have at the time of death, not at the time of you made it. Like for example, if I drafted my will today and I don't have a house and lot yet, but I put there, I'm giving everything to my son, you know, or my daughter and my son split half and half, nothing to my husband, right? And well, because I was thinking, I don't have a lot of money, and I mean, these are the only things I have. And then later on, I purchased a house and lot.
You want the Powerball.
I know, right? And then I have more money in the bank, and then I pass away, and I never really thought about that. Hopefully not soon, right? So then it'll be messy because I'll have whatever I said. Let's say, for example, I didn't write my will. So will my children get equal share? Mm-hmm. No. We'll have to look into what the law says, right? Who gets what? Like what we have discussed last time.
Up and down and then sideways, right?
No, down first. Sideways, right? So down, up, sideways. Yeah, so that's why it's very important, because don't think about, I only have a few assets right now, because you'll never know. Some other questions that I get, what if I already sold my properties at the time of death? So what's going to happen? It doesn't really matter, because what the law will look into is what you have at the time of death. So that's why when a person passed away, all the assets, bank accounts will be frozen. You cannot dispose any of the properties of the decedent, of the person who passed away, because we have to do an inventory. Like, what are they? How big is the estate? We want to know how big is the estate of the person who passed away. And you know why we need to do that? It's because of tax, right? Because how much tax do you you need to pay for the assets, for the estate? Well, that's why if you don't want to pay a lot of taxes at the time of death, you have to do your estate planning while still alive, because one benefit of estate planning is to avoid paying a lot of taxes, because there's an estate tax when the person passed away. In Texas, we do not have a state estate tax, but we are still covered by the federal estate tax.
So other states, they have two taxes?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So Texas, we only have... Texas, we only have... we don't have state as state tax. So that's so funny. But yeah. So right now, the federal estate tax is anything in excess of, I think we're already on, let's say 12 million mm-hmm. right now, or 12 point something, because it's increasing every year. But comes to 2025, we're back to 5 million. So wealthy people, you'll have to do your estate planning. Think about this, because if at the time of your death, you have more than 5 million after 2025, right? Assuming you're going to die after 2025, you know, you have, and the law was not changed. It's still going to be that. So 5 million, anything in excess of 5 million will be taxed.
Oh, okay. I don't have to worry about that.
For now, what if you won the Powerball, right? Yeah. So that's estate planning and then last will and testament. So the other question that I get a lot is, some people, they think that, oh, I already have my last will and testament. They think they're not going to go to probate anymore. Mm-hmm. But I already have my last will and testament. Why do we have to probate it? Well, probate is a legal process where you bring that will to the court and prove to the judge that this is a valid will. And once the judge is convinced this is a valid will, then it will have the it will be enforced under the law. So that means whatever you wrote in there will be carried out under the law.
So
that's a probate.
Probate happens even before you die.
No, probate will only happen once a person passed away, and we need to prove to the court that the last will of testament of that person who passed away is valid, and so that we can distribute the estate according to the will of that person.
And it's the lawyer who executes it.
It's the executor that is named in the will. The executor is a manager. He will manage the estate, the distribution of the assets. Make sure that if 1/4 is given to you, then you only get 1/4.
Which is not the executor is not necessarily a lawyer.
Not necessarily a lawyer, right?
Oh, we also have a question or a comment from Tito Jun Hugilon.
Hello, June.
You also need a trusted financial advisor.
Of course. They work hand in hand. You know? So your financial advisor will know, you know, how you are managing your money, your assets. What's your plan in the future? What do you want to happen in the future? Mm-hmm. So estate planning is only a part of your consultation or part of your planning with your financial advisor. Because financial advisor, you know, lahat. Mm-hmm. Mga asset, anong gagawin mo? Am I going to invest here or there?
How
here
to
and
keep
there?
Your money.
Yeah, how to grow your money, how to save for yourself, provide for your loved ones, ganyan. Mm. So, and part of that planning, the yung estate planning.
Because you don't want to waste it. Like, you had all this money and then you die, you don't even get a say of who gets it, right?
That's right. So that's, you know, kaya hanin-hanin yung partner yan, diba? So, good question. And we have another one here.
In Florida, in 2009, Dahlia DiPolito hired a hitman to kill her husband. She thought she had succeeded. Does the Slayer rule apply in Texas?
Well,
what's the Slayer rule?
Yung ikaw yung magpapatay. Mm. So meron kang ano, you have your husband, nandun ka sa will, you know, na nandun ka sa will. And then you want to get your, you know, your mana, you want to get your money. And so you hire somebody to kill the testator so that you can get your hindi pa pwede yon. Mm. Yeah. You're not going to be able to get money from that once you are proven to have been who orchestrated the death of your of the testator or yung spouse kanya. So hindi ka makakakuha dito. Na even yung ano, like the other example of this, and just to relate it to that story, hindi naman siya nagpapatay. Parang sa ano din yan, sa insurance din. Diba?
Insurance fraud.
Oo, hindi naman insurance fraud, but ang nangyayari, let's say for example, kasi yung insurance mo, pwede yung maging part ng probate mo. Pwedeng probate and non-probate asset. By the way, when we say probate asset, yun yung mga asset mo na will go through the probate system. Yung mapupunta doon sa inventory na i-distribute sa mga beneficiaries, sa heirs, right? Yung non-probate assets, yun yung may mga designated beneficiary na sila. They don't have to wait for the probate to be done. They can already receive. Let's start, for example. Nag-break pala kami.
Right. Yeah, surprise!
So, surprise! Nag-break kami. Anyway, time is so fast.
I know.
Ano ba yan?
Take your questions.
Ano na nga ba yun? So, we're talking about the insurance, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the insurance money, if there's a beneficiary dun sa insurance mo, the beneficiary doesn't have to wait for the probate. You just need to claim the insurance because you are the beneficiary. You only need to prove that the person, the primary, has passed away. So you need to bring the death certificate and your identification. You can always claim your benefits from that life insurance. Now, that's non-probate. Mm-hmm. But probate asset, you'll have to wait for the court to approve the will or to settle the estate, you know, an administrator is appointed or executor is appointed before you can distribute the assets or the estate of the person who passed away. Now, let's say an example of what I'm talking about is yung car. Let's say merong BMW yung parent mo, and then sabi ng parent mo, oh, I'm going to give, nakalagay sa will niya, I'm going to give my BMW to my son, Christian. Uh-huh. Diba? Ngayon, let's say lang na binenta yung ano, yung sasakyan bago namatay. So, wala na yung sasakyan. So, ano pang ibibigay kay Christian, diba? Ngayon, let's say lang hindi binenta. Let's say lang na nabangga. Uh-huh. Nabangga yung sasakyan. So ngayon may claim ng insurance,
wow.
Diba? Pwedeng may receivable yun from the insurance.
Okay.
Eh dahil binigay sa yung car, sa'yo ba mapupunta yung receivable from the insurance? That's a good question. But in this case, yung nire-relate ko doon sa ano sa Slayer law na yan. Yung ano, yung siya mismo yung pinabangga niya, nag-cause ng death yung accident na yon. So, yung proceed ng insurance na dapat mapunta sana sa kanya, hindi mapupunta sa kanya because he's part of, siya yung ano, bad faith, siya yung dirty hands. He who comes to the court must come with clean hands, di ba? Mm. So, kung ikaw yung bad guy, definitely, you're not gonna receive anything.
Don't even think about it.
Kaya, wag niyong papatay. Just because meron ka ng will,
Brian Wong, you know, we see you.
Pwede mo nang anuhin, di ba? Patayin, and para makuha mo yung proceed. So, yeah, no, that's really, really bad. Okay, so, ano pa ba magandang, importante mapag-usapan natin about will, last will and testament?
Question. Sa movies palagi rin, merong they look at the camera and they just say their name and they were like, if you're watching this, that means I'm dead and like, these are my last wishes. Is that legal?
Very good. Magaling umamanda ng utak ni Christian. Obvious na nanonood lagi itong. Well, actually, we talk about two types of will, right? Mm-hmm. Testamentary and, testamentary. Formal will, yung typewritten will, and holographic will. Where will that fall?
Holographic,
di ba, entirely written sa handwriting? Mm. Will that fall into anyone?
No.
So, hindi. It's not gonna happen. So, yung ano, if let's say for, nasa deathbed ka na, nasa hospital ka na, tapos naisip mo, oh my gosh, hindi ko pa pala na, ano, na nasabi ko kanino ko bibigay
may
yung
akin. May pera pala ako sa ilalim ng kama.
Meron pala ako, may 1 million pala ako sa ilalim ng kama ko, hindi ko pa nasabi ko kanino ko ibibigay. Tapos sinawag mo yung nurse. Witness kita ha. O ano ha, yung pera ko sila ng ano, sabi naman ng nurse, wait lang po sir, i-record ko po kayo. Ganyan, may sa camera, ganyan. That's not gonna pass as a last will and testament. because it's neither one. It's not a formal will. It's not a holographic will. Verbal will is not allowed here in Texas. That's called that could be a verbal will. It's not allowed in Texas.
In the olden days, they also do fingerprint. They have blood and then the fingerprint. Is that okay?
Very interesting, you know. Well, as a matter of fact, di ba sabi natin must be signed by the testator. Ito yung mga areas na we fight sa litigation just in case lang na no, we have to maging contested yung ano yung probate, you know, like question, oh, that was not the handwriting, I know somebody signed it for him. Pwede ba yan? Pwede yung may mga provisions, may mga batas na my law na he doesn't have to actually sign. He actually can ask somebody to sign on behalf of that person, as long as syempre kailan mo ano yon ma, it's witnessed, he knows what he's doing, that you are signing in front of him, that you are signing for him. You know, may mga ganun na qualification. So, yeah, mayroon naman napapala yung mga pinapanood mo. Pero mayroon din tanong sa akin na, is it true, attorney, that during probate, kasi pinag-usapan na natin yung last will, di ba? Mm-hmm. Pinapatawag lahat ng mga kamag-anak doon kayo sa long table, magkakaharap lahat ng mga blended families, yung stepsister mo, half-sister mo, half-brother mo, ganyan, first wife, second wife, sandoon sila lahat, may mga last will. Ganun ba talaga nangyayari? Yung tanong sa akin one time. Sabi ko naman, pwede na naman kung gusto mo. Pero, hindi ko gagawin yun kung mag-aaway-aaway kayo. Mahirap yun pagpasama-sama. So, in reality, hindi naman kailangan ganun. You know, but like I said, it doesn't mean na hindi mo rin pwedeng gawin. But we don't do it. We don't. Sa movie lang yun. Kasi may mga other ways to do it. At saka minsan, it's not a good idea to do that one, especially if they're fighting against each other. Baka mamaya may bigla pang maglabas ng baril or whatever, di ba, during that time, nag-altercation sila. Because the truth is, we still have to go to the court, prove that the will is valid, before we can even, ano, before natin sabihin na, oh, before distribution. Hindi kasi ganon yung process. And we have a whole episode of probate, yung from start to the end, para makita niyo kung ano yung nangyari during probate. Kasi maraming mga sabi-sabi, chismis, mga nagmamalites, ganyan. Na, ay, wag ka na, oo.
Probate live stream.
Na, ang hirap-hirap, magastos, komplikado. May mga simple rin lang po na probate. Siyempre, may mga komplikado rin. Yung mga complicated cases, yun yung mga nagda-drug years and years hindi pa tapos. Pero meron ding tapos na in 3 months. You know? So may mga ganun. Tsaka depende rin yun sa pagka-draft ng last will mo. That's why it's very important that your last will and testament is well-drafted para walang maging issue later on in terms of interpretation. Kasi talaga yung interpretation, that's where contest is gonna come in. Yung word, yung use mo ng her, ng him, ng his, ng they, yung pinangalanan mo, yung let's say for example, I'm going to give 100 million to my niece, Emily. Eh kaso, tatlo pala yung niece mo na Emily. So diba, magulo na yon. That these three Emilys will fight in court, who is the Emily he's talking about?
Million, I'll change my name.
Oh, yeah. Talagang ano yan. I mean, witnesses here and there, ganyan. Ang daming ano yan. So, that's why if your will is well-drafted, you can avoid all these complications. And that's why ang lagi namin sinasabi is, especially doon sa mga nagda-download online, and ito pa nakita ko to na they downloaded the typewritten will and fill in the blanks. Anong sabi ko sa'yo? Hindi pwedeng maghalo ang typewritten at handwritten, right? So the court will either interpret it as tatanggalin niya lahat ng sinulat kamay mo, kung ano lang yung nakatype, yun ang interpretation niya.
Nothing.
Problemado yun. Kasi kung anong nilagay niya doon, baka mamaya yung dinownload mo, nilagay niyang pangalan niya doon, nabigay na sa kanya, di ba? Or pwede rin namang scrap niya lahat yung typewritten, yung holographic lang, handwritten lang. So ganun na naman, magulo yun. Yeah. So that's why, huwag kayong magsyadong magtipid in terms of ano. Kasi, pinaghirapan nyo yung ano nyo eh. Pinaghirapan nyo yung money nyo. And I get it. Makakatipid ka nga because you might just probably get it for free. But then, ang laki-laki ng gagastos sa inyo to resolve the issue during probate. diba?
Eh, patay na naman eh.
So, sa bagay, yung mga beneficiaries mo na lang nga, no, sasakit ang ulo. Pero then again, yun yung pinaghirapan mong pera. Mm-hmm. Na ang gusto mo lang naman, yeah, mabigay sa kung sino yung mahal mo, mm-hmm, ma-receive niya yung pinaghirapan mong pera. Tapos, ang ma-receive na lang niya, 1/4 na lang. Kasi ginastos na sa lahat ng ano, pag-resolve ng issue, hearing, bayad sa mediation, bayad sa abogado, court costs, ganyan, investigators,
wow,
witnesses, mga ganyan. So, gawin nyo na ng tama.
Yes.
Diba, Christian?
One more question before we end. Another one, till death do us part. What happens to a will after a divorce in Texas?
Oh,
from Brian Wong. Brian Wong,
ikaw, you have a lot of friends. But that's an interesting question. Till death do us part. Talagang you will be parted once, you know, mm-hmm, if death comes. And I already mentioned this earlier. Probably Brian was not yet, he's not tuned mm-hmm in yet when I said this. If in your last will and testament, you name your spouse as a beneficiary, let's say I'm giving everything to my spouse, and mm-hmm, if she's not, if she predeceased me or she passed away before me, then to my children in equal share. Ganun mm-hmm naman laging ginagawa, di ba? Ngayon, before ka namatay, divorce kayo. So what is the effect of that divorce doon sa last will and testament mo? It will revoke whatever is given to the wife.
Mm. Yeah.
Kaya hindi pwedeng patayin din.
But can you specify like in my last will, even if I'm divorced to this person, I still want her to get the...
Well, that's a good question. That could be a contested one. Pwedeng subject yun sa interpretation, because nilagay mo doon specifically na even if ma-divorce kami, she will get it. So mm-hmm that could be, pwede niyang ilaban yun.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it depends na yun sa discretion ng judge and the way you argue it in court and your witnesses as well, kung yun talaga yung gustong mangyari ng tao. Kasi mm-hmm pwedeng sabihin mo rin, pinorse nung wife yan na ilagay dyan even after divorce. And then you also have to look into other documents like prenup, kung may prenup ba kayo, mm-hmm, di ba? So yung prenup mo, yung last will mo, titignan mo lahat yan pagka nag-estate planning ka. Yung iba, may prenup sila and then ipaparibok nila yung prenup nila in the middle and then they create another last mm-hmm will and testament, ganyan. So, but yeah, yung question ni Brian, the consequence of divorce, plain and simple divorce, nothing else, it will automatically revoke the benefits that you are giving your spouse in your will. So that's why yung kanina rin na example ko, nung after ng divorce, napunta lahat dun sa anak, di ba?
Mm-hmm.
Because alternative yung anak, sabi pag wala na predeceased, you know, the child will inherit everything, will get everything. So then the child will get everything. Ngayon, another question is, let's say for example, nag-divorce na sila,
mm-hmm,
binago niya yung will niya, after divorce, nilagay niya ulit yung ex-wife niya, pero nilagay niya doon na after divorce, ex-wife na siya, pero binibigyan pa rin niya, pwede ba yun? Pwede naman yun. I mean, kung gusto niya, that's his will, di ba?
As before we end, I guess. There's movies there where like people leave their properties to like their pets. Is that okay? Does that happen?
Well, this is a Texas. You cannot leave sa pet mo. Pero pwede mo ilagay sa trust.
Mm.
Sa trust. So, gawa ka ng trust para sa pet mo. Doon mo ilagay sa trust na yun. So, hindi sa pet mo, kundi doon sa trust na ang benefit ay pet mo.
Mm.
Pero, syempre, you need a trustee na magmamanage yung, because your cat cannot withdraw money, you know. So kailangan mo pa rin ng trustee na magmamanage. That's why you have to create a trust for that purpose.
And I guess that's mm-hmm like a topic for a different,
yeah, actually that's very interesting. Especially ako, meron kaming mga we have 2 Yorkies now. Ikaw, meron ka bang pet?
Wala.
Lizard, mga ganyan, wala.
Spider. I didn't adopt it, chicken. But it just lives in my room.
Oh, yun. So kasi mga pets natin naging part na ng family natin yun eh. So what's gonna happen when you pass away? Tapos mag-isa lang kayo. Meron kang aso, dog na tinuring mo ng kapamilya, dalawa lang kayo nabubuhay sa mundo. Kayo lang talaga dalawa.
Mm.
You love each other, you know. And then all of a sudden may sakit ka. Paano na yon? Sino na magte-take care sa dog mo? So you can create a trust for your dog. You know, then you can create a will if you want. You can create a will, and then ang lagay mo doon na beneficiary yung trust ng dog mo. Mm. So kung sining trust mo doon, siyang magmamanage. Make sure na, you know, well taken care yung ano mo, yung dog mo, hanggang sa dumating yung oras na he too will pass away. Mm. So syempre kailan meron ka na mga plano kung, you know, after ano na mangyari. Kasi they will not live for eternity, right? They will also pass away.
Oh.
So yun yung kasama sa estate planning. But you know, there's this commercial in the past that's, I can't believe it. It's such a funny commercial, but it's also nakakatakot. Well, it's funny because divorce, diba, in divorce, you try to have cut everything in half. Tapos ba't yung pet
oh,
mo?
No!
That was just a no, but that's wrong in all sense. Don't do that. But you plan for your pet. Yun lang naman ang gusto kong sabihin. Yeah, you can give them something sa will mo, but it's not direct. Lagay mo sa trust. Mm. Do it the right way.
Another question from Mr. Brian Wong. I love this interaction. So, yeah, thank you, Brian. Which will I make, trust or will? I know someone who has a trust who changed it to a will, then changed it back to a trust, saying that he's avoiding probate because probate is too expensive.
Yeah, Brian, you have this is actually a very interesting question, which we already can kind of touch, you know, some part of it, some discussions. But there will be a full discussion about trust, which I believe abangan mo, and you should, because like I said, trust and will, they're not the same, but they're both part of estate planning. There are documents, legal documents. It depends on your needs. It depends on your circumstances, whether you will need a will or you will need a trust. And when we say trust, there are so many types of trust. It's not just one type of trust. So many, meron tayong special needs trust, meron tayong revocable trust, irrevocable trust, meron tayong gun trust. Marami, wow. You can create whatever trust na ano mo dyan, depende sa situation mo. But yeah, tune in, wait for that session when we will talk about trust, because I'm pretty sure you will have a lot of questions that, you know, you may already have a lot of questions right now na masasagot during that time, or it will spark more questions from you. Well,
anything else you want to say before we
anything end? Else? Well, there's a lot of things that we can talk about in
message us.
Yeah, message us if you have a specific topic that you want us to talk about in relation to estate planning, this our estate planning sessions. Next time, I'm thinking we can discuss about what could go wrong in a will. You know, since we already started talking about a will, why can I not just make a will and then be happy about it?
Right.
What could go wrong when you make your own will? What are the common mistakes that one can make in a will that could cost you much? Akala mo simple lang, yung pala malaking problema lang.
Wow.
So that's another good thing that you would like to hear and to learn about, because now today you learn about generally basically a will, right? Last will and testament, the requirements. We talk about the requirements of a valid will here in Texas. What are the types of will? What are the who are the executors? You know, how do I know if it's my last will and testament, how do I revoke it? Things like that. But it's also important to know how can you avoid making those mistakes so that your true wishes can be executed at the time of that. Like, you know, if you want 50% to Christian is only get 50%, not 75% or 100%, right? Because that's not your will. Okay, so tune in next month, which is actually it's already going to be last Wednesday of December. And Christian will be in the Philippines. So we're going to do remote like this. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if Christian is available. Kung hindi natutulog si Christian at that time. Because if it's going to be 6 p.m. here, it's going to be 8 a.m. in the Philippines.
You should already
been up and running already in the Philippines. 6 o'clock, gising ka na, di ba? So we'll see you next time. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Maraming salamat, Lawin Media Network. Philippine American Chamber of Commerce Greater Houston Region, our sponsor, PSN. Maybe next time PSN will be able to, engage with us as well, and many other people. So, any last words, Christian?
Last will.
last will muna.
Take care of yourself. list your properties. Think about there's also an ebook, which just message us and we'll send you like Attorney Eileen's ebook about all of this stuff.
It's free.
It's free. And you can prepare it and then maybe just have her check it and then start the process, right?
Yes. And if there are no more questions, right, from our viewer. All right, well, thank you so much. I wish you happy holidays, because it's almost December. And I hope you have a good rest of the week. Yay. All right, we'll see you on the last Wednesday of December. So
bye.
Bye, have a good one.